Laurent de Wilde et pas de Wilde.
Ou de Wilde.
Ou de Wilde.
Ou de Wilde.
Ça me faisait assez marrer que ça s'appelle Do et que je m'appelle Rémi, hein. C'est tout con.
J'y avais pas fait la connexion, mais ouais.
Voilà.
Je pense que le son dit quelque chose de l'être humain.
Yes, please. Thank you very much.
Jazz Interview, pour une rencontre avec un artiste de jazz. Passez un très bon moment sur Art District.
So hi everybody, this is Luke Seabright and welcome to our jazz interview program on Art District Radio. So today I'm very lucky to have on the phone with me American trumpeter Jeremy Pelt. Hey Jeremy, how's it going?
How you doing, Luke? It's great over here.
Awesome. Where are you calling from, Jeremy?
From New York City.
From New York City. Is that where you're currently based?
That is where I'm currently based, yes.
Awesome. So you are based in New York, but you will be in Paris pretty soon. So on the 26th and 27th, you have two concerts coming up at the Sunset Sunside, I think the Sunset specifically, in Paris, mm-hmm. as part of the Jazz sur Seine festival. Needless to ask if you've actually played there before, because I know the answer, since you're presenting an album, which was in fact recorded at the Sunset.
Absolutely, I can't wait. I'm very excited to be coming back there and presenting the what we actually recorded there last year.
So it was recorded, was it same time last year it was recorded?
Thereabouts. I mean, we were there at the very end of September. So, I mean, it'll be about a month off. Actually, come to think of it, I think it might, one of the days might fall on the actual day that we recorded.
Oh, really?
So we recorded, I think, September 27th or 28th, I think. And I think we're going to be in Paris October 26th and 27th. So it's almost a month to the day.
Okay. And so the album.
I mean, a year to the day, right?
A year to the day, yeah.
Year to the month. Yeah.
The album was released in February of this year. It's called mm-hmm. Noir en Rouge, live mm-hmm. in Paris. So can you tell us a little bit about how the project came about and the musicians you recorded with?
Well, the musicians that I recorded with were my touring band, recording band for some years before that. We had put out a record in the studio called Make Noise. Mm-hmm. And so we were starting to really be onto something, and we had another tour coming up. And you know, I'm a bit of a romantic in every a lot of different senses of the word. And as far as having a romantic notion to, you know, record in Paris a live record, like a lot of, you know, my predecessors and a lot of the icons of this music have done it. I thought, well, this would be a great idea. I've done live records before, but nothing live in, well, maybe one or two live in Europe, but certainly not under my own name. So this was a great opportunity, and I'm glad that my record company got behind it.
Yeah. So was Paris, is Paris a city that you know well? Do you have a particular relationship with Paris? Do you get to come to France?
I do. I feel like I'm in Paris at least two or three times a year.
Oh, awesome.
So, and I've been coming to Paris for a very long time. I mean, professionally, we could say since the 90s, but certainly, you know, as a baby, I mean, we can go all the way back to the 70s. You know, that's not to say that I wouldn't dare say that I could tell you every crevice and every alleyway, but I mean, I can get around.
Yeah. How's your French?
Well, that could always be better.
Yeah. There's a funny story on the album. There's, I think it's on the last track, you mention a funny story about Chateau d'Eau, in where you
yeah.
think you went to get a haircut or something. So you kind of know your way around the city a little bit.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I reached out and I was asking somebody because I always need to have a haircut on the road, you know, and I wish I could do it myself, but I'm just not that talented. And so I asked some people, and they all said Chateau d'Eau. And, you know, the thing that I like about Paris is accessibility. And I'm, you know, getting around on the subways, you know, basically like New York. So, I mean, it's, you know, I just look at, I mean, you guys are very clear and explicit in your direction, so it makes it easier to get around.
Yeah. And do you get to play with sort of local Parisian players when you visit?
I've done so before, yeah. I mean, there are a few expatriates that are now, but I've certainly, I remember on a specific tour I've done with your pianist, Baptiste Trottignon.
Yeah.
I did something with him back in, I want to say, 2009. And even though that was an American band, there were some dates where some of the band couldn't make it, so we had a Parisian rhythm section. Full Parisian rhythm section, and I had a great time doing that. And I know a lot of the musicians. I just did a record with an alto saxophone player that lives there. That's actually from there. I don't know if he's from Paris, but he's definitely French. His name is Gael Oriou. Mm-hmm. So I've had a chance to really play with a lot of the Parisian musicians, and you know, I hope that grows.
Yeah. And so can you tell us a little bit about the musicians that you're going to be playing with at the Sunset?
Yeah, well, so this time it's a little bit different from the band that was on the CD. I had to make a couple alterations in the band. So we still do have Victor Gould on piano, and he's a great dynamic player, young player, and he's just a wonderful writer, wonderful player, wonderful thinker, and we're very happy to have him. Vicente Archer is our bassist, but he's actually going to be on the road with John Schofield, so he's always very in demand, so he's not going to be able to make this particular trip. So we have, I was lucky to get Rashawn Carter, mm-hmm. who's another young bassist that's played with Wallace Roney, and amongst others, and so he's going to be on bass with us, and as well as my new rhythm section, which is Alan Mednard on drums and Ismail Wignall on percussion.
Okay.
So, and we've just recently recorded a new record, so you'll be not only hearing them live and playing some of that music from the upcoming record, but you'll actually hear them on the record when it comes out next year.
Awesome. Well, that was sort of going to be my next question. Kind of what are you mm-hmm. going to be playing? Is it going to be mostly music from Noir and Rouge? But so yeah, you also have material from a new album, which is it due to be released this year?
It's going to be released next year, I believe, in February. I'm very excited for it, and a lot of it is again apropos to Flint, in that half of the record I've received a commission last year from Festival of New Trumpet, or what we call FONT, which the organization started by Dave Douglas and Roy Campbell. And I received a commission to write a piece. And what I focused on, which is one of my big passions, is art. And in particular, every time I come to Paris, I like to go to one of my favorite museums in the whole world, is Musée Rodin. And obviously I'm a big fan of Auguste Rodin, and so I can't tell you how many dozens, you know, of times I've been to that museum, both the one in Paris and also the one in Meudon. And so the first half of the record is a dedicated suite that I wrote based off of some of Rodin's pieces, and it's just basically called Rodin. But it's a 5-part suite, and so that's what's and then the other side of the record is some art related pieces, though not related to Rodin. It's all original music, and we're very excited. It's a larger ensemble, although we'll appear when we do tour, it'll be a bit more truncated, just, you know, for financial reasons, but mm-hmm. Certainly we'll be able to pull off some of the pieces from the upcoming record.
Okay. Well, I mean, our district's kind of angle is very much both jazz and art, so that's a very, that fits in very well to our particular kind of angle, so that's really interesting. Is that a music that you actually composed in Paris, or...?
I did. As part of the commission, I took some of that money and I came to Paris. For the first time, and I can't tell you how many, I don't even know if I've ever taken a straight vacation in Paris, but I actually was there for 2 weeks in May. I kept a relatively low profile. I didn't really go to any of the jazz clubs, didn't really converse with a lot of musicians, visiting or otherwise. I just basically kept my head in the ground and was at the Musée Rodin for a lot of that time, and I was writing music and composing and looking at pieces and getting inspiration from them. So for that period of time, I was basically just compiling information pretty much every day.
Awesome. So there's, if I'm not mistaken, you've released another album this year, which was this album Jubilation, celebrating Cannonball Adderley. You recorded with Jim Snedero. I'm curious to this is another new release of yours. Could you tell us a little bit about that particular project and why this decision to pay tribute to the great alto saxophonist and what is it about his legacy that you wanted to kind of promote in this album and pay homage to?
Well, you know, there's a couple things at play, and I hope I'm not completely out of line, but I'll say this. I mean, I've been paying tribute as part of the Cannonball Adderley Legacy Band with Lewis Hayes, who was obviously a member of Cannonball's band for some 6 years. I've been doing that since 2000. So it's been quite a long time, almost 18 years. That said, Jim Snedero approached me. This would have been last September, I believe, about doing this project as a gig. And so when we originally did it, it was his gig, and we did it at a club in New York called Smoke. And it was myself and many of the people that are on the album. And so he got so very excited because he's also a very big devotee of Cannonball Adderley. He's a fine player. And he, you know, we're both on the same record label, so that kind of got the spark going. And he approached the record label about, you know, doing this record, in particular because Cannonball Adderley would have been 90 years old this year.
Okay.
So it was that kind of impetus that helped to make that record. And the record label decided to make it a joint record. But only because we're label partners, but I kind of look at it as a Jim Snedero release. And that's not to say that I don't enjoy the music on there or, you know, don't have any interest in paying homage to the great Cannonball Adderley, because I certainly do, and his brother. But just putting it out there that the idea of recording it came from Jim and then the good time that we had when we did the gig originally in last September.
Yeah, okay, I see what you're saying. Did you actually ever get the chance to meet Nat Adderley? You mentioned you've been in the Cannonball Adderley Legacy Band since 2000. I think 2000 is the year that Nat died. Did you ever get the chance to meet him or play with him?
That's one of the sad parts. No, I didn't. I was a big Nat Adderley fan, and I don't think there was ever a time that I could recall during my 4 years being at Berkeley in Boston where they actually toured. Nat Adderley toured between 94 and 98, so I wouldn't have seen him there. And by the time I moved to New York, I don't think he was playing much because of his ailments that he had. So, I mean, I did not get a chance to meet him, and I'm sore about that. But I was a big fan, and Vincent Herring obviously toured with Nat for a very long time. And so he was the reason that when he and Lewis Hayes decided to put together that band, Vincent had me in mind.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a real shame you didn't get a chance to meet Nat, but you have been lucky enough to collaborate with many extraordinary musicians over your career so far. I mean, there's many to mention, Jimmy Heath, Cedar Walton, Robbie Coltrane, to mention but a few. Is there are there some? I mean, I'm sure this is true for many of them. But are there any particular collaborations that really stand out for you in terms of what they taught you, what they sort of represented as a personal experience?
You know, I count myself as very fortunate to have had the time on stage and in the studio with many of my heroes that I grew up listening to and continue to listen to. So when you mention people like Cedar Walton or Lewis Hayes or Roy Haynes or Jimmy Cobb or Jimmy Heath or Tootie Heath, all these people have had a profound effect on me. I could probably give you, you know, a lot of different stories, some of which I actually couldn't tell on the air. But, you know, I think that they've each had a very big influence on just building me as a musician. I was also very fortunate to befriend Freddie Hubbard for years before he died. And that alliance made it, you know, was a big deal for me. Yeah. Also, people like Joe Wilder and you know, even lesser known cats, Virgil Jones, you know, people that were on the scene that were really like the field soldiers of the scene that you know, really made the town, you know, the world go round, but don't necessarily get a lot of the press. Yeah. But I mean, so I feel very fortunate to have caught the tail end of their lives and have it affect mine.
So we kind of have to wrap up, unfortunately. We're kind of running out of time, but so I I just want to give you the opportunity to maybe talk about other projects that you might have going that you'd like to talk about. You already mentioned obviously this new album that should be released next year with this Rodin suite. But yeah, have you got anything else going on that you're excited about?
Well, I'll tell you what, there's also another band that I'm also very excited about to be a member of. It's a band called the Black Art Jazz Collective. We were actually at Sunside.
Okay, I interviewed Wayne Escoffery recently, so we talked about that.
I'm sorry?
Chance to talk to Wayne Escoffery recently, so
Okay.
We talked about that. It was very interesting.
And that's a great, great band. We've got some great arrangements and great songs going. And we have a great time. And I think the audience really enjoyed what they heard when we just did a European and Asian tour in August. And we had a great reception throughout. And so that's something that is continually growing. We have a record that did very well here in the States. When it came out in June, and we'll soon be recording another one next year. So, I mean, that's probably the only other thing that excites me besides this Rodin project that I'm very excited for everybody to hear.
Well, I'm very excited too now, really looking forward to that. Cool. Well, Jeremy, that's about what we've got time for. So thank you very, very much. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
To remind our listeners, you are going to be playing two gigs in Paris at the Sunset on the 26th and the 27th of October. That's two consecutive nights at the Sunset, and you'll be presenting your music from your album Noir en Rouge live in Paris, and also some new compositions that we can look forward to. So yeah, write that down in your calendar and head over to the Sunset on 26th and 27th. So yeah, thank you very much, Jeremy. Have a lovely
thank
evening.
You.
And it was a real pleasure talking to you.
You
Thanks
too.
A lot.
Thank you. Same here. Thanks.